We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
All right. Thank you for listening to the ESPC NFL podcast, the Hawthorne Effect recap of week two. And I always say this, the purpose of the podcast is to make me money. I say that because so much media out there is disingenuous, gaslighting and lying to you, putting false information in your head, right? Garbage in, garbage out, and then you make bad picks and you lose money. So to that end, we keep it raw, real, and honest. We have 100% transparency. Every pick is published. We track every pick and how much money it's making, right? Because we get lied to in the corporate world. They talked about revenue. Revenue is a lie. 401k because of the fees and the BS they put in, it's a lie, right? What is the truth is, if you are Shark Tank, free cash flow, profit is the truth. So every pick is linked to free cash flow and profit, because what's important is profit. Revenue is BS, right? So that is the purpose of the podcast. Now, every single business meeting has to have a purpose and an outcome. The outcome so far using our system that's taken 25 years to build, made a lot of money in the last 13 years. My wife has not bought gasoline or an expensive item if it's not betting money. Betting money goes first. So we're up around college and pro, $17,000. 19 straight weeks of profit, but last week, we were at what I call the edge of the table. And I got this from my dad. When I used to have a glass of milk at the edge of the table, he says, "I can't believe you spilled a glass of milk." And I'm like, "Dad, it's right there." He's like, "No, just because you put it close to the edge of the table, it's just like you spilled a glass." So last week we were profit, but only because of we picked all three sides of the Dallas game. We got two out of three sides plus the money line, Baltimore, and then we finished strong last night with Aaron Rodgers covering the big number in the division even, and that game went over. So you learn more, two things. You learn more from the bets you got wrong versus the bets you got right. Number two is sports betting is the only form of wagering, right? That you collaborate. You see people at the slots all day, pushing the slots, or at the poker table all day. They're not talking to them. Actually, they're at the poker table trying to deceive people. Sports betting, for the most part, we're all helping each other out. We are sharing information. Person with the best information wins, right? So if you are the smartest person in the room, the toughest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. You always have to have a buddy with you at the sports book. So if somebody wants to try to take the cash from your pocket, it's going to be a fight, man. So that'll be a hell of a buddy to try to take our cash at the sports book. We have no addition to the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Nighthawks.
Football team, right?
The Nighthawks. The Golden Knights is the NHL. That's same ownership, though.
Same ownership, because I think they're trying to use the same name or whatever. Because I was looking it up, and they have the arena name was similar to the NHL one. So I'll send you the link, what I'm talking about. Well, it's arena team in Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
His brother is going to be the starting quarterback in the world-famous Olympic Coliseum against the USC Trojans, who are 2-1, probably ranked. Going to be a very exciting game on Thursday night. But right now, we're going to focus, we're going to be mindful on executing the process, the Hawthorne effect, right? Everything you track and measure, you improve. 10 to 20%. So we were 55%. We want to be 75% next week. Thanks, Chad, for doing this process with me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is my my favorite podcast to do. I mean, really, this is just fun to go through the games with you. Just, I mean, this is really for me is why I love it, is because it just gets my mind thinking clearly. I'm able to differentiate, you know, what games I really, my thinking was perfect, what games, you know, I was flawed and my thinking was wrong. Same, you know, I get to hear you, you know, get your insight on what where your thinking was right and wrong. We get to kind of look at, you know, what games we got a little lucky in, what games, you know, luck worked against us and we lost and we should have got right. And it just, this podcast is the number one, you know, way to improve, you know, your percentage and your outcome of what you got going on. So yeah, this is, you know, really, this is for me, myself, and I love talking with Josh and getting his information and checking my thinking, and just happy that we get to give this, you know, this conversation and stuff to you guys for content to divulge in and see how we were thinking and, you know, apply it to your thinking.
All right. So you always have to know your break-even point when you have a business, right? Break-even for us is 52.5%. It's break-even. However, we have a mental health crisis, right, in the United States. So we also, my wife's been a psychotherapist for 17 years. So we give you, not only do we use business and financial concepts to bet on the games, because I have an MBA for securities licenses. We also, and everything's linked to betting in the game. So what we also do, right, is we give you a basic first aid kit, things that people should know about psychotherapy and psychology when betting on the games. One of the big problems in sports betting is impulse control issues, and 95% of people cannot change. So this is the process for change, and you have to do it exactly through this. Some of it, it's taken me a minute. Sometimes 10 years it's taken, right? You got pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, and then maintenance. That's how you change. Now, also, 75% of the suicides are males. Why? Because father knows best. And it's hard for men to admit mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, you get pounded by everybody, right? What kind of a man does that? Oh, you should have known that. Oh, I'm going to fire you. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So it's all this pressure on you being right and then admitting you're right and not holding yourself accountable. It's a big mess. And every person has a different level of this. So when you make a pick wrong that you should have gotten right, you have to confront your feelings of humiliation, your feelings of being stupid. You're supposed to be this guy that knows football, you know, all this and that. And you're losing money at this, right? And then now you get home and you have to watch this Lifetime movie with your wife because she's not going to let you watch anymore. You lost money at the casino, the sports book, whatever. So you have to confront your feelings. Everybody has to do this. And a lot of crimes and things that happen are unresolved feelings. And a lot of addictions is impulse control, not controlling your impulses. And even I have to do a better job. How do we make money with this? Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston has made me a lot of money because I know that my wife told me that sexual deviants have impulse control issues. People who steal from the grocery store have impulse control issues. Jameis Winston stole crabs, right, from Publix. Jameis Winston raped a girl in college. Jameis Winston did not face any consequences for that. With the Bucks, he had bad impulse control issues. That's why he had so many interceptions. We bet on him making bad decisions, right? Reading defenses and bad impulses when he thought a guy was open, but he wasn't, and he was going to throw a ton of interceptions, right? So we use that knowledge to make money. Now, the Hawthorne effect is you have to face your own feelings of humiliation, of stupidity, and
shame.
Shame, right? And the top rule number one of sports betting, right? Do not bet your own team. Number two, do your research. Did you do enough research? Did you read the beat writer for that place? Did you call your friend who's a fan of that team to get more insight, right? Did you do enough research? Did you follow the system, right? Again, we use decision analysis. This is used by the Fortune 500 companies and the top 100 companies as a process, right? You get as much information as possible, you apply math, and then you rigorously apply logic until you get to the right decision, to the right pick. In this case, we use probability theory, right? 20%, you can only, the highest level of certainty is 80%. So if somebody says, oh, this is stone, rock, lock, call me for this pick. This, no, the highest you can go is 80%, right? And you use statistics, return to the mean. We use arbitrage, which is in the financial world. So it's a lot of experience. That's why I have those licenses, securities licenses, MBA, successful clients, net worth, 50 million, 20 million, and about three successful businesses. What are your thoughts on that? How has this process made you money, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, it's crucial to, I mean, especially at this point in the season where we're right at, I mean, this is, you know, how we're going to, you know, make sure that we're maximizing our profit each week, you know, because, you know, one game, it, you know, the difference between being, you know, 10 and 5,
right,
you know, one game makes you 11 and 4, you know, that's right. Two, you know, and that's an extra 2 units of whatever you're betting. And if you're consistently getting those extra 2, you're just contributing to your compound interest. And at the end of the year, that extra 2 units every week of 17 weeks of football, 18 now, you know, that's 36 extra, you know, betting $1,000 that Josh bets. Obviously my units are smaller. I don't bet that.
We want to get you to that point by college basketball season.
Yeah.
We can have the same college basketball season we had last time.
Yeah, that's right, man. If we have a basketball season like last year in a March Madness, man, I might not need to work the rest of the year. So.
that is the goal, right? Don't take financial advice from somebody who does not have an island in Fiji or lives on an island in Fiji, right? So before we let's get into the games.
Yeah, let's just go through game by game. So we got Thursday night game was the Washington Giants game where Josh was on the money line. Because right. Washington's like that family member you can't trust.
Right. And, they're asking you for $20. I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to let you borrow because I know I'm not going to see it.
I took the -3, so that was a loss for me, but a win for Josh.
But you learn now.
Yeah.
The thing is to learn from your mistakes, right? People say it, but really only 5% of people learn from their mistakes. So even though this is a sports betting podcast, this podcast has a lot of depth into life and keeping it real, keeping yourself in check. You want to be that 5% of people that learns from mistakes, who can change. Because if you live in the past, you die in the past.
Yes, and then the total for that was 42, and we were on the under, and that game went over. You go first on that. What do you think about your thinking on that one, and where – and what happened? And I'll follow.
Well, if you live in the past, you die in the past. I was thinking about the 2019-2020 Redskins and 2020 Giants and the 2019 Giants in football, because I think things have changed a little bit. You let me know what you think. I think you need to get on the NFL secondary because all these guys don't seem in the greatest shape. Or they put all the stuff in training camp, and now they have, like, dead legs. They're not as good a shape as they used to be. There's 19 people on the practice squad. So they should be able to keep players fresh. The other thing I saw was that I overestimated for at least this week. I'm going to look who it is. Who is the secondary coach for Washington? It really ultimately goes on Del Rio, Rivera. Let's just let him do the defense. I know they talked during the week, but Del Rio, Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. He's a great coach when he was coaching up Jacksonville. Got them to the conference finals, won the division like 3 years in a row. Great coach, Del Rio. But there was a lot of miscommunications in that Washington secondary that allowed some free touchdowns to get that game over. I overestimated Jack Del Rio's ability to coach these guys up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I definitely – I think the number being so low, too, at 42, a low 40s right. number, 41, 42, like we were living in the past there. I mean, that number's right. so low. A primetime game Thursday night. The Giants do have a very good receiving core, and it showed in the Washington. They have a good pass rush. They're solid up front, but we saw that back end is not as tight, and that's kind of a common theme I've seen with a lot of teams.
Right.
That back end. The Giants, now I do feel like the Giants did maybe get a little lucky offensively. You know, that Daniel Jones had himself a 60-yard scamper. We're not going to see that every week.
Right.
And – you know,
but the throw. Season moves along, right?
Yeah.
His legs aren't going to be the same.
So, and then he threw a bomb, you know, right before halftime, got a deep bomb touchdown. I think it was right. Sterling Shepard. So, you know, you take those two, you take one of those off the board there. I mean, actually, it's up at 59, but, you know, that gives the Washington cover. But even then, it's still.
Because it changes the game, right? Because then Washington has the lead. They yeah. run a little bit. Especially yeah. with a quarterback, young quarterback they have.
But still with that number being so low, it probably still would have gone over. I think our thinking was slightly flawed.
Right.
With Washington's secondary and how they were going to be defensively. You know, that pass rush really didn't get home a whole ton. I mean, they were there, you know, but they didn't like, you know, they didn't get that strip sack or that turnover or just, you know.
Well, what's his face? The offensive coordinator did a good job because he knows that his offensive
Garrett, line yeah.
sucks. So he did, you know, different maneuvers yeah, no. there.
Great game.
Take the pressure off the offensive line.
Yeah.
Get Jones out of the pocket.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's that game. Yeah, but we take this information for next week. One game I blew. Three parts of it. Should have done more research. And again, overestimating decisions, right? When you start a business, when you get into a new relationship, got the hormones going. I always get it wrong, but I always say epigen, but it's this chemical women get in their brains the last 2 or 4 years after having sex, right? And that changes their mindset. And they overestimate the decision of liking you, right? And we overestimate decisions in the beginning of a romantic relationship. We overestimate things. We're watching our kid play. We overestimate our kid's abilities and we want to go fight the coaches and my kids should get more playing time. When you start a business, you think you're going to make a lot more money. We are sometimes even pressured into overestimating decisions, right? You get home from fourth grade and you tell your mom and your dad, oh, they asked us today what I want to be when I grow up. You're only in fourth grade. You shouldn't have even been asking that question. And your mom goes, oh, you said you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer. Again, we're as a baby. You don't even know what this kid in fourth grade is going to do. So you got to watch that in sports betting, overestimating decisions. And I overestimated the Dolphins and Coach Flores against the Bills coming off a loss. I thought the Bills were actually Chad and I were at the San Diego State Utah game, Power 5 school. And we were talking about you can only get your team up 3 times during a season, right? These are pros, they're supposed to get up themselves, whatever. Sometimes it's extra. So that being said, I thought that the Bills who Pagula, their owner, is already chalking up a Super Bowl, that they were going to, the Dolphins with the young quarterback, they were going to have a slugfest with the Dolphins, right? And these are all Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, ex-assistant coaches, the guys that got promoted from D-Ball, the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator, to Flores, the head coach of the Dolphins, and McDermott's the Andy Reid guy. So, again, living in the past, I thought the Dolphins were going to lose in a close game, maybe lose 17-14. Same thing that happened last week with the Patriots. But this time, they were going to be on the losing end, cover the 4 points, and it would stay under 48. And I was wrong. What happened was that the Bills blew them out. But it did stay under the 48. Mm-hmm. Another thing is the second half line. Later, Jacksonville, I actually got it right. So you have to differentiate. Bets you got wrong because you made the wrong pick. You overestimated your decision versus the 20% luck factor. This one, I was wrong in my processing of this game. And I was wrong about the second half line. Early in the season, Buffalo prepared for it. And really, the second half line wasn't, I think it's still in effect. It was just the Dolphins are so bad. Did they leave it on the field the last week? Is Flores working him out so hard? Are there injuries? Obviously, Tua was hurt before the game. And a lot of people are playing with injuries. I just read an article today, Indianapolis Star, about the Colts are lying about their injuries. Then in my world, the security world is fraud. Also, it's fraud is getting non-public material information. But now I get to ask Chad a question. Who is a professional football player? But it's legal. Right, because he knows so much about football, it's almost like having insider information. But what are your thoughts on that game, the Dolphins and the Bills?
Yeah, so I was on the Bills on this one. I thought that the Bills, coming off a loss, were going to go down there and win that game pretty handily. I was on the second half line as well with you. You know, I felt like that Florida Heat, you know, my thinking was flawed. And Tua being out, the team just kind of, I mean, they just, the second half, they almost gave up, I felt like. They knew.
The confidence in Brissett.
Yeah, the fourth quarter, they were just trying to get out of there, you know. I think the under was the right play the whole time. Right. With that style of game, blowout or close game, I think it was going to go under the 48. You know, division game, we knew, you know, we were right on the total. I like the Bills to win the game. You know, I thought that it was 14-0 at halftime. Thought it was possible the Dolphins could have got back into the game. But yeah, just with Tua going out, I should have just stayed off it. And because I picked the Bills, right? That was a dumb bet on my part. I was up 14 to, you know, I'm up. Right. I had the Bills bet in. You know, the under's looking good. It's 14-0 at half. And that was when I wish I could have got back. I should have just maybe a little impulsive.
Right.
And I shouldn't have been out. You know, we both shouldn't have been on that second half line. Should have been able to get it out of that one 2-0. But,
right, and then see, this is a good part of it too, because 52.5% is break even, right? So there's two things. Number one is arbitrage. And studying for the securities test, I'm reading, okay, arbitrage is buying 10 or more stocks in the same sector, buying and trading them simultaneously to take advantage of a market inefficiency. So that game, doing it by the book, I bet, should bet, and will bet, have done it before, and now I'm going to make sure I'm in tune to it, bet Bills money line. I think the Dolphins are going to cover Dolphins +4 in the under. I get 2 out of 3, right? And I'm Warren Buffett. That game did not lose me money. I'm at 66% on that game, and I keep rolling with because this is a business, right? And a business has to have durable, sustainable profit. So you know, lets me watch these games and not with The Walking Dead. Now Anna is putting The Walking Dead on in the morning before 9 a.m. before the NFL starts at 10. Right, because she wants me to make that money. So that we're watching The Walking Dead at 7 a.m. in the morning instead of during football. Why? Because we had consistent profit betting NFL games the whole marriage, but especially the last 13 years, made huge profit, paid for vacations. So it's consistent, durable, dependable profit. Bet the money line, Bills, Dolphins, because I think the Dolphins are going to cover. And then the under. Now, see with your eyes. I saw Brissett sweating bullets, kind of confused at the end of that first half. I said, okay, this thing looks kind of shaky. They scored 0 points in the second half. So their problem on offense is so bad. New offensive coordinator, too. Maybe they'll catch up later in the season. But the Florida Heat was – because really the Bills only scored, what, 16 points in the second half?
21. 14-0 at halftime. They got 21 in the second half,
35-0. 29 points second half. So, yeah, the Dolphins did nothing in the Heat. So – overplayed, overestimated second half line that game. The Colts Rams over. Again, I should have gotten that right. It's me living in the past. We have right now around 3 picks that I got wrong using my 2020-2019 brain. Not what's going on. Now, the NBA betting, I got a lot better when I focused on what's going on. And if these guys, for whatever reason, are not playing hard. It even came out in the paper. 180 was screaming at guys to play hard in the finals, which is hard. Came with a professional basketball player not playing hard in the finals. That hasn't happened my whole life. So, but I need to adjust. Okay, they're not playing hard in the finals. Then you got to bet the over in the finals. And I did that. Made the adjustment, made money there. That's how the Hawthorne effect makes money. Makes you money, makes everybody money by applying it. Saints over 45. Again, this goes back to my Winston Jameis analogy. Maintenance. He supposedly has changed, right? We only know 5% of people can't do it. If I would have stuck to that and said, okay, Jameis Winston is going to return to the mean. This is what I said was Jameis Winston was at least going to try to be consistent, and they'll score enough points to cover against the Panthers, and this game will go slightly over, right? The real answer is Jameis Winston can't change. He can't do the maintenance part, right? We'll go back to this. Everybody, rah, 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 you know, to get out of rehab, right? Most rehab doesn't work. Oh, I'm going to change. I'm not going to get high anymore. Blah, 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 right? That's really contemplation stage. Yeah, pre-contemplation, and really preparation, right? But then you get out of rehab, you get out of action, right? It's friends say, oh, let's go get high, right? You know, Breaking Bad, right? Very, very analogous to that. Oh, let's get high. No, man, I'm not, right? He overcomes this for a month. 2 months, 3 months, and then he's coming home from work and he's passing the exit where his heroin dealer is, right? He passes that exit, it's maintenance. He gets off that exit, he's back in preparation. So Jameis Winston did it first week one, not week two, right? He was horrible, they only scored 7 points. And again, salesmen think short-term, businessmen think long-term. We were talking about this earlier. Denver and Houston seem to be teams that are putting the whole playbook early in the season, but won't late because they lack depth. Coach Payton is a Bill Parcells guy. Bill Parcells says, "All after 10 games, I want to be 5-5, then change things around and win all the rest of the games at the end of the season." That's why you see Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, with the headphones on and the papers, last 4 or 5 games of the season, because they're changing everything now based on what happened earlier in the season to win. So Payton wants to be 500, right? So he wins big last game, and every game's a road game for them. There's trash that they're not picking up in New Orleans. So I should have done more research, thought it through more, and picked the Panthers in that situation. What are your thoughts, Chad?
Yeah, just on that Panthers Saints game specifically.
Yes.
I liked Carolina. My gut was telling me Carolina. Thought they were going to get it done at home. Division game. The Saints coaches, we knew they had some COVID issues throughout the week, that they were not going to be fully staffed there at the game. Which, like you mentioned earlier, not necessarily affects the game plan, which is made through the week, but I think it does affect in-game,
adjustments
are affected. I kind of have this bias, you never bet your team, number one rule of betting. So, I don't have a team, but I'm fond of McCaffrey and Darnold. Right. I kind of want them to do good. I know Sam, worked out with him a couple of times, and, they're both,
both California guys.
So I had a little bias that I kind of just went against my own bias, saying, "Oh, you're being biased. Somebody's team better than the other team." When that was my thinking was right. I should have really sat down and really took the time. And I thought they were going to have this kind of year, was what I was thinking, and my thinking was right. But just because of me feeling like I had a bias, I went the other way, which I shouldn't have done. I should have trusted, my thinking. And then I think, going over, I think Matt Rhule, like you mentioned earlier before we started the podcast, Matt Rhule, defensive guy, man, he dialed up a good, great game plan, shut him down. And I think that, that division game, Matt Rhule, it's 2 games they dialed up. I think
very it was prepared.
And with the Saints not lacking those in-game adjustments with those coaches being out, I think we were wrong with going with the over. We should have been on the under, because of those factors.
You can't let that bad thinking go, right?
Yeah.
You can get in trouble, and even though a situation's going good, they can go south fast. So I love that. That was awesome. We really kind of changed on that, right? How flawed and wrong our thinking was. And the important part is was past tense, not is. So now we make money. Now, concept, second half line, and double digit dog in the division. It's almost the same. One, it was bad thinking. And the other one, I got right. I don't know. I go back and forth on the Falcon game. What do you think on the Falcons? Because it was plus, I ended up getting it at plus 15. So 80% of double digit dogs in the division. You almost bet it blindly, because 80% of double digit dogs in the division cash. Now, last 2 years, it's almost been 100%, except for Andy Reid, Bill Belichick games, right? They're the only teams and coaches who cover double-digit lines, because it's not just double-digit lines. It's people who love betting favorites and overs, making that number even bigger. That's what happened here. This line started at 12.5, and I ended up getting it at 15. So you have to differentiate. Brings in a lot of confidence. Bets you got wrong because of flawed thinking versus that 20% luck factor.
Yep.
And you cannot predict turnovers. That's my opinion. I open to other opinions. Other people say you can't predict turnovers, but you do have to mitigate when a guy's a turnover machine like Baker Mayfield, or Darnold's good for a turnover. Goff last night's in there for a turnover, so I'm glad I bet the double-digit favorite in the division that time. But this time, the Falcons didn't cover because of two pick sixes in a row to the same guy, same defense, same play. It's like Matt Ryan should have known better, and that's what cost me that cover. What do you think? I'll let you decide, Chad. Bad thinking or 20% luck bet?
So, I'm gonna elaborate on the total, then I'll give you that answer on the spread there. Because I do feel that my thinking going on this under was wrong, was flawed. Tampa Bay is gonna have the most high powered offense all year.
Right.
It's not saying they're gonna go over every game, but I think when a team is playing, a defense is playing with such a big lead, they're more likely to take those chances of jumping something and maybe getting beat over the top.
Right.
And I think we saw, and not only that, they know they could give up a touchdown, be down 3 points. As long as they get Brady back the ball with 30 seconds left, they got a chance.
Right.
So I think that is going to drive the Tampa Bay. They'll probably the over for Tampa Bay will probably be over 52.5% this season.
Right.
And I think that we missed that in this game. Tampa Bay trying to come out, division game against a lesser opponent. We knew they were going to jump on them. Scott mentioned, that he thought they were going to jump on them.
Right.
But double-digit dog in the division, that backdoor cover late. I think the spread thinking was right. We had ended the game with back-to-back pick sixes. That is absolutely ridiculous.
But like now, you're saying, that's good food for thought because he was jumping the route.
Yeah. So, exactly. And leading to that pick six, exactly, because he's playing that lead. He can take those risks. And like you said, we can't predict turnovers. I think we can kind of have a coefficient variable of quarterbacks who are higher likely to commit turnovers. But we can't predict when those turnovers will occur. Could have 0-1 game, 4-1 game.
We're seeing here, it's pretty interesting the way the brain works. Let's say a quarterback is, turnover prone, interception prone. If he had a bad game, we could see him being in the action phase. When he's in the maintenance phase, we might bet against him because he might revert because, right, when you go from the logical part of your brain to the amygdala, which is the impulse part of the brain, you're not thinking anymore. You're just reacting. So whenever you were reacting, and I actually learned this from these mobsters who owned a storage facility 30 years ago in Tampa, they always said that when you get into the amygdala brain, you revert to your default thinking as a kid, right? So you refer to your default interception prone self, the maintenance phase, when you get caught with, I didn't read the blitz right, or man, this guy's about to sack it.
If you look at that game at the end of the third quarter, it was 28-25.
Right.
Tampa Bay had a 3-point lead. They went down first drive of the fourth quarter. They scored, went up 10.
That's why at the end of the third quarter, you don't count all the eggs before they hatch. Because I was feeling good about the 14.
So there you go, right? They scored. They're up 10. We're good. We're covering. We got the ball back. Ryan throws a pick six. Okay. Now they're down 17. We get the ball back. We're all good. Right. We need to go get a meaningless touchdown at the end. Right. Down 17, lose by 10, and cover.
Right.
He throws another pick six.
Right, to the same guy, same play, same coverage.
Not only if he didn't throw the first pick six, and then the second, that's just, you can't predict that. I think that's a luck factor. I think that double-digit dog,
it really should have covered both times because we lucked out in a sense that Goff made all the turnovers in the second half and scored 0 points.
could have had, there was a potential for the Lions to get a backdoor cover last night. You know, so we went on the double digit dogs. We only took one of them. We ended up 1-1 there. So, but yeah. And then another one, there was, you know, the only other double digit spread was the Cleveland Houston game.
Right.
Which Houston did cover. Now that's
outside the division.
Outside the division, but it is within the conference.
Right.
So, right. We have division games. Those count as two games.
Right.
Conference games are, you know, are still more important than a non-conference game because that's the teams you're beating out for the wild card.
Right.
And things like that. So
tiebreakers.
Yeah. And you know, we were on Cleveland in that game, correct? That was the one we missed.
Yeah. That game is definitely now in new football, new 2021 football. That game's definitely going over.
Yeah, because we were wrong. This is the game we were wrong on the side and the total. We were under.
Right.
And yeah, I think we're
underestimating Tyrod Taylor.
And underestimating the Texans and team like the Broncos throwing all their eggs out early in the season.
Right.
You know, that is huge. They're throwing, you know, everything out there early. Underestimated Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
You know, we were kind of on Houston to beat. You know, they've covered now. They're 2-0 against the spread.
No, I'm joking, but we're underestimating Teddy Bridgewater. We're underestimating Tyrod Taylor. We got to watch our racist, unconscious bias. Right. Against black quarterbacks.
Hey, Lamar got it done.
That's for really us, the concept we're doing, right? We're uncovering why we made non-profitable decisions and being real and honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a racist a-hole and did not let that bother my thinking.
Yeah. Now Cleveland did have some opportunities to cover that spread in that game. It wasn't like, I don't think we were completely wrong. I mean, they won by 10. I mean, it was close.
Right.
But I think our thinking on the total was more flawed than the side.
Right.
Because we knew, you know, with Houston throwing that stuff out there, they're being, you know, everything they got early in the season, that's the, you know, some extra plays and stuff like that. They're trying to get some points. They're going to score a little bit. And, you know, we knew Cleveland was going to score. And Houston's defense right. isn't, you know, anything crazy. You know, Cleveland's getting, it's pretty, you know, they got a lot of explosive players. And, but yeah, they, that, you know, double digit line is, you know, it's, I think if you just take all the double digit spreads for the year in the NFL, right. I think the underdog is going to cover that more than 52.5% of the time.
You can bet, yeah, you can bet blindly.
Yeah.
The double digit dog and be over, you'll probably be around 60%, I think.
Yeah. It might be slightly higher in the division, but I think within conference, now interconference may be different, but I think you know, division and conference it will be pretty similar in percentage wise.
Right, and then that's why research is so important, because you got to find out the relationship between the coaches, right? That Flores Belichick, you know, maybe Flores has some resentments. That his wife was pregnant, his mom was dying, and Belichick won't let him leave the office. So now he's like, every time I play Belichick. So it doesn't. I've seen that happen so many times. Not even funny.
And these Bright secondaries, matches. These secondaries, I think, are just, you know, Houston and Cleveland, and the secondary is not anything special, and you're seeing these big plays lead to the over. And I think that game was very similar, you know, I don't know if this, you know, the Rams Colts game and the Vikings Cardinals game were both over, went over, we went under. I think there's something to say about the controlled environment fields that don't have any wind factor, no element factor.
Right.
You know, they're in Arizona and in Indianapolis. Those type of fields. Obviously, just looking at, you know, a controlled environment field, I think is going to tend to play to the over, where like a Lambeau field, freezing 20 degree winds, you know, that's going to play to the under. Now, not always, you know, nothing finite.
These are always on the margin.
Yeah. Always got to do your research.
All factors considered. All factors being equal.
Independently look at each game.
Right.
As itself, as a standalone game.
Situational intelligence.
But I think in both of those games, too, we saw secondaries giving up big plays.
Right.
I mean, Minnesota, I mean, Kyler Murray's running around. Dude's open by like 50 feet. Like, it looks like there was a sniper in the stands that shot the whole secondary. No one to be found.
Right.
So, you know, that I think that's something to look at is these DBs in these games. I think we're living in the past with a few of the unders. And the unders were so good for us week one. Did we have a bias coming into week two? I think we had a bias coming into
week two. Yeah, recency bias.
Recency bias with our success on the unders from week one. Now the sides, we got both those sides, right? We did get the Colts. We did get a lucky punt block for a touchdown, but I think the Colts are a tough team. They're going to hang
in. You got to expect that, right? Now we know that Wentz is really hurt. So they needed special teams coach, right? I need a touchdown from you.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Jaguars. Jaguars got special team touchdowns.
Yep.
And for a reason I've seen a lot, right? The punt team just tired. They're running all game, all day, 90-degree heat, 100% humidity. You're going to be tired. And that's where my specialty is special teams. This is his own special teams coordinator.
You know, and with the Vikings, man, you dialed it up that they were going to have a good game plan defensively and hang in there. We knew that was going to be a close game and that Minnesota was going to cover a close line. Totally right. That game, they had a field, a 30-40 yarder at the end of the game to win the game outright. They missed. But I mean, they did dial up a good game plan. But you know, we kind of saw Minnesota break out offensively and Arizona offensively. I think even though we knew Zimmer is a defensive guy and was going to kind of whip out that game plan, I think that was going to slow the Cardinals down to give them a shot, not necessarily shut them out or keep them, low scoring. I think, Kyler Murray has that potential. Just he's so dynamic and, he
gets this is the problem. Kyler Murray can't run all season. So he ran, and that's something with the pick. One of the reasons I got the Jacksonville pick wrong was I could kind of predict that Lawrence hasn't caught up to the speed of the game, and he overthrew three wide open receivers for touchdowns, and he's not running. Murray, on the other hand, is running, but I don't think he can do that all season.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, Jack?
I totally agree. I mean, Murray last week and this week is out there scrambling. You know, we've seen it 2 weeks in a row. He's buying time, just making, running all over the place. That style is going to wear on him for sure. And
yeah,
it's not sustainable.
No. And it was good because we had really good seats. We were right there that San Diego State Utah game. We saw the pounding in the college game. The quarterbacks took when they run. I can imagine a 17-game NFL season doing that, and this is the second week in a row he's been running. All right, so we got all the Monday night games right. The only game they got wrong that should have gotten right, the Ravens got +4. We were all over that. Harbaugh, Coach for Reed, he knows them. So a lot of guys that were assistants with other guys are beating them. Flores beat Belichick last week. Harbaugh, we predicted. We were all over that one. I got the money line. That one I followed my own advice. I got the money line, got the +4, and it saved me because I got the under wrong. The reason I got the under wrong is because I'm getting old, too nostalgic. If you live in the past, you die in the past.
The secondary, same thing that we saw in the other games.
Right.
Lamar scrambling, jump pass, Hollywood Brown. Looks like the sniper in the stands shot the secondary down. And, I mean, we saw a lot of that this week. A lot of guys wide open, just busted coverage.
Yeah, and I'm going to start reporting more +1s when I see them. Because there you go. Tyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. All these guys are Heisman Trophy winners, right? Trevor Lawrence didn't run. And it's because I think – Egos getting in the way. Urban Meyer. We'll close with this on that one. What, as a former football player, you had different coaching staffs in college. What do you think is the thinking here with not running Lawrence? Is it keeping him safe with maybe first-year offensive line that isn't that good? You don't want him running, getting hurt. It's a practice year for him, right? He's learning how to throw out of the pocket.
Yeah.
And then Meyer's trying to, you know, prove a point that he's not just a college coach.
Yeah.
That he can have a drop back quarterback. What do you think is going, what's happening over there?
So what I, what really stands out to me, what I take from that is, like you said, this is a practice year. They are, they know they're not going to win. They're preserving their, you know, franchise quarterback for the future. They're building for the future. They're getting him his experience. They know that this year, Jacksonville 0-2, they're throwing it in. They know this shit's not, they're not doing, they're not making the playoffs this year.
Right.
This is a complete practice year. There's no point to run the quarterback and for to go 500 and not make the playoffs.
Right.
To win a few games that you could maybe win that you're going to lose, you know.
Right.
So that tells me that Urban knows that and that this is a complete rebuild year and that they are not going to be competitive. And they're going to probably be competing with Houston for last place in that division. And I mean, yeah, I mean, shit, Houston whooped their ass week one. So, yeah, that's what it tells me.
Right. No, you know, I agree with that. I'm still thinking later in the year I can do the Jacksonville second half line because Lawrence is not going to be missing those passes.
Yeah.
And it tells me that they're running plays in the first half, setting him up for the second half. Those were plays where they had that, you know, Vic Fangio defense figured out or set up. And he missed those throws in the second half. So that adds to my second half logic. Yeah. So we end with Winston Churchill. We'll be back tomorrow night.
We're going to do a few more games. Yeah. Or I want to, well, some ones we nailed, man. Belichick and that under and that minus six. Rookie quarterback, four picks. We couldn't have been more right. Belichick's awesome against rookie quarterbacks. Four interceptions from Wilson. And I mean that Belichick, when he gets a lead, they control that ball unders all day. Another one that we nailed, in my opinion, that we didn't get both wins, the San Francisco 49ers and the Eagles game.
Right.
17-11. We
thanks for reminding me of that game. Yes.
We killed that under, but we had the Philly plus four. They had two touchdowns called back. And you know, they get one of those touchdowns, they win the game 18-17 outright. I mean, the cheap, even if they could just get a cheap field goal, they cover. So, I mean, that was – I feel good about that pick with Philadelphia. I think my thinking was right. I think they should have won that game. I think San Francisco got really lucky to win that game and cover that line. So that was one we – our thinking was good. But we, you know, that 20% luck factor came in and we didn't get it. And then one more we nailed was that Chargers-Dallas game. We were all over Dallas there, first game in SoFi. It was almost like a home game for Dallas.
You know, it was a home because the majority of the fans were Cowboys fans.
4.3-point underdog, won the game by three. Under came in easy as a 55. I think it was 55, came in at 37, and got that money line right. I mean, that was beautiful. You know, those three games we were completely right on, and, you know, we didn't even go 6-0 on them.
That's what sneak profit for the podcast were those games. And then the Eagles game, we talk about fundamental analysis versus technical analysis and types of technical. So fundamental analysis, one of the five factors is corporate governance. And Shanahan, who's been to the Super Bowl twice as a coach, his dad went to the Super Bowl, had his team better prepared than the Eagles as far as being more disciplined. There was a lot of penalties this week, college and pro.
Yeah.
A lot of penalties. So San Francisco had them. That coach had them better prepared. But I think you're absolutely right because which you're going to take with Hurts because he's an inaccurate quarterback. There were receivers running free. He missed and two touchdowns were called. back. So I feel good with that pick. That wasn't bad logic or bad thinking. It was the 20% luck back.
Yep. And then last game, we talked about this one before the podcast, how you gave some good insight, was that Titans Seahawks.
Right.
That we should have been on, you know. We'll go ahead. So, give us your thoughts on that game.
Yeah, you live in the past, you stay in the past. I thought it was going to be old school Carroll defense, old school running the ball with a lead. He didn't do that. There's some quick touchdowns. And, again, I did not follow my own advice. Type of defense Carroll has, which if you read his book, Win Forever, he says that he'll never change his defense, the same defense. Molly Kiffin, Hall of Famer, John Lynch got in the Hall of Fame, same defense, right? The Tampa 2, it's a coverage, not a defense, but it's really a zone. But you have light defensive ends, light Mike linebackers, right? Your Derrick Brooks. And believe it or not, Warren Sapp is light because he's only about 6'1", 6'2". For a defensive lineman in the NFL, he's kind of light, quick guy, right? University of Miami. But you pound him with a Derrick Henry, you pound those guys and get two first downs. That's it. They're light. They're winded. You're going to score on Seattle. And Derrick Henry is the epitome of that. Again, like McDermott coming off a loss. Rabel is a long-term salesman, think short-term. Businessmen and women think long-term. Rabel won several Super Bowls, made deep runs in the playoffs. He's a long-term thinking guy. I didn't think he was going to put that much into the game, and I underestimated his willingness to do that, and I underestimated Tannehill as well because he's a good quarterback. He was awful the week before. But to him, again, what is the concepts we use from statistics, return to the mean.
Yep.
I could have said Tannehill.
For the whole offense, too, because, you know, Julio and Derrick Henry, I think, and Tannehill, all three of them were returned to the mean in that game. Right. They all were very slow in week one. And, we should have known that Henry and Julio Jones, especially, were going to get going. Right. You could see Tannehill on the game plan. They were feeding Julio. He's going to Julio, getting him touches. That Titans secondary, we saw in week one against Kyler, giving up big plays in the pass game, showed its face again. You know, Tyler Lockett had a deep one, big plays for Seattle. And, you know, Russell Wilson's got one of the best deep balls in the game. So we should have, we should have anticipated.
No, that's over 100%.
The over, yeah. You know, the number was high, 55, kind of scared us to the under. And we had that recency bias working in our brains
right
last week. But with that Seattle deep ball of Wilson, we knew the Titans secondary was not, you know, was going to give up a few big ones. And with that return to the mean with the offense there with Tennessee, we should have been on that over, man. We should have been all over that. We were playing old school Pete Carroll. We lived in the past and died in the past with that one.
Right. That's awesome because we all have regular jobs and stuff. So Chad and I can hold each other accountable. We're like, hey, don't make that same mistake me with the Titans. With the Titans and Seahawks, man, we got to go over because you live in the past, you die in the past. So we're giving you great information for free. You never have to pay for picks. You don't have to pay extra sports, $300 a month for data. All you have to do is listen to the podcast. And you always make 10 times more by giving than getting. And Winston Churchill, he got us to World War II, not the French. We're fighting with the French, but we're on the side of the English. You make a living from your labor, but you make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to the ESBC Podcast Network. If you haven't heard of Anchor, it is free. It's a podcast that I use. And they really do a good job for us here at the GFSN Betting and Team Report podcast.
It helps us make 70-80% of your bets. Now, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started, my brothers. I'm the best there is.